a young man at the other church where I pastored, he started a website. And he said, "Brother Eddie, you care if I start a website? I don't know nothing about computers." I said, "Well, whatever that is, do it all you might for the glory of God." And he did. And we've had a lot of people get saved from that website. Yeah. Now, I know y'all take a church for granted, even though you just got a few here. We're good enough to have church. But everybody don't have what we have in America. A lot of these people are from third world countries and afar, and they listen to these messages, and a lot of them have responded. So I'm recording this message today, and we'll be putting it on there. But I preached up there on that radio station for 5 years. I didn't know maybe if any of y'all ever heard any of those broadcasts up there or not. Did anyone ever see anyone preaching up on the square on Saturday mornings? I preached up there for like 10 years, Saturday mornings. That was me up there screaming, acting like an idiot. Had like 4 people get saved.
Amen.
Up there on the public square. And one of them that really stands out to me, there was an elderly lady. She drove in that morning and pulled in right down below me and parked. And I have to admit, you want to do anything to help a preacher, you just pull down there and act like you're listening. It really helps him. And they like to preach me to death. But when they got done, I went down there to thank them. And I went down, and that lady, she was smart. You know, the Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." And she was smart. Her husband was lost, and she asked him to go to town with her that morning. Unknown to him, but known to her, she knew it was going to be a preacher up on the square on Saturday preaching. And she parked that car down in front of me, and he heard that message that morning. And I went down there, and I said, "I want to thank y'all. Y'all really been blessing him." And he's over there crying his eyes out. And all he could get out was...
Amen.
All he could say, Brother Eddie, he said, "I'll tell you one thing," he said, "that's old time preaching." That's all he could get out. He was crying. And I know the Lord ministered to that man. But the first time I was ever up on the square, now, when I first got saved, April 27th, 1988, I mean, I hit the ground running. Everybody kept saying, "You've been called to preach, you've been called to preach." Well, I told them the most dumbest thing anybody could ever tell anybody. I said, "You let God tell me, and I will." Well, that went on for about 4 years. Next thing I know, God did tell me to go preach.
Amen.
And I guess I thought I was going to be the next Billy Graham. I don't know. But I didn't really get what I thought. I thought, "Boy, everybody be calling, Brother Ed, come preach, come preach." And I'm sitting there having me a little pity party there at the house. Boy, if anybody can mess it up, I sure can. And I entertained this thought. I thought, "Well, Lord, you know, I'll tell you what, you give me a somehow or another, this thought come to my mind. To this day, I don't know where it came from. I mean, just come like a dream. But somehow or another, a thought came to my mind about going preaching on the square in Glasgow, Kentucky. And before I really considered about what I was opening my mouth to say, I said, "Lord, you give me a message and I'll deliver it."
Amen.
That's the fastest message I ever got in my life. And when that message come to my bosom, there was a yellow streak went up my back that far. And the closer it got to Saturday, the sicker I got. And when Saturday morning got here, I done had it all in my plan that I'd go up there Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, I'm driving in town 5 mph, everybody back behind me blowing the horn. And I drove up there to the square and pulled up there to the courthouse. And I have to admit, I was like Ichabod Crane, my knees was knocking. I thought, I didn't even know how to start. What am I going to do? How's this going to go? And I'm sitting there, I mean, I'm holding on the steering wheel. And I got out of my car. And I went down to the public square in Glasgow, Kentucky, and I fell down. Now, the way up's down. And I fell down, and I wept and prayed, and I said, "Lord, I'm here at your obedience." And I said, "Lord, if you'll help me, I'll do my best. Help me here today," and ask his blessing. And I started preaching, and I have to admit, I was enjoying it. And I'm kind of glad this didn't happen until I got done with everything that I'd done up to this far, because I was done in the spirit, and I was feeling pretty good.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, 2 boys come running around the courthouse. One of them had that golf look. He was dressed in black from top to bottom. His hair was solid black, and I don't know if he used butch or what, but he had 2 big long horns that went out about this far. He had yellow contact lenses in his eyes. They looked like a cat. They were yellow with a black slit right in the middle of them. And he had tattoos and chains and piercings. He looked like a demon from hell to me. He got right up in my face. And "Sister Carolyn, I'm going to try to illustrate this." He said, "What are you doing?" And like I said, I'm done free sheets and Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm ready for anything now. I said, "Young man," I said, "I'm preaching the Word of God." And I said, "You need to get over there and you need to listen to this." And my amazement, he did. He went over and he sat down and he listened. Buddy down there laughing. And I got done, I went over and I gave that young man a track. I said, buddy, Jesus loves you. I say, he loves you just like you are. I say, he don't want to leave you like you are, but he loves you just like you are. You need to get to know him.
Amen.
And I started towards his buddy down there. He's down there snickering, laughing. He run plumb out of his shoes. As far as I know, he's still running. But that was my way. I got started preaching up on the square. I kind of enjoyed it after that, but I had a rough start there. Now, let me say this before I preach this morning. If old Brother Eddie rocks your boat, it's not my fault.
That's right.
Now, me and Brother Ed talked a little bit before y'all got here. We both talked about having our feathers ruffled. And if old Brother Eddie can rock your boat, just don't blame old Brother Eddie. I'll just tell you right now, if I can rock your boat, something wrong with your boat. But if your boat gets rocking, ain't old Brother Eddie doing the rocking.
Right.
But we'll take our text this morning out of Matthew chapter number 2. And I'm going to read 12 verses. The first 12 verses. We don't read our Bibles enough. And you know you really should.
Right.
Amen.
Does anybody here want to be healthy?
Yeah, sure.
Would you like to have a healthy life?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to tell you how to have a healthy life. Let's turn just real quick before we preach here real quick. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Now this is God who cannot lie. He's going to tell you how you can have a healthy life. Now, we're going to read it word for word. And I don't compromise when it comes to the Word of God. Let it say what it says. Let him be true and all the rest of us be what we are. Come out of the womb and speak lies. But Proverbs chapter 4, let's start verse number 20. My son, attend unto my words. Notice these are God's words. He's doing the speaking. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now God's speaking specifically to someone that he's calling his son. Now look at verse 22. For they are life unto all those that find them, and what to all their flesh? What's that say? What's that word?
Health.
You want to have a healthy life? He sent his word and he healed them. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but by every word. You want to be healthy? Have a healthy diet of the Word of God. I'm 64 years old. I don't take any medication at all. I wasn't this strong when I was a teenager. I'm amazed at how I grab garbage bags out of the work out there with one hand, just pick them up. Everybody says, hey, do I? I said, I don't know. But I'll just tell you right now, one of the healthiest things you can do is read your Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Isaiah 26, verse 4, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. He'll give you perfect peace.
Right.
He'll give you perfect health if you'll let him. All right, let's get to our message here. We'll start reading verse number 1. We'll read 12 verses of Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We'll stop our reading right there. Now I want to preach the first Christmas on earth. And you pray with me. Well, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these that are before us. Lord, we all stand in need to hear from you. And I pray, dear Father God, today, Lord, you'd preach to me and through me. May all the praise and all the glory be yours. And Lord, if there's any needs here today, Lord, may you meet them, have your riches and glory. And we thank you for these things and ask your will to be done in them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about Christmas. Some are good. Some call it pagan holidays. Some call it, there's some guy up on the square up here, I think when they had the Christmas parade, that he was acting in a very wrong way. I think somebody said, and I wasn't there, but he said, liar, liar, paint's on fire. And I ain't got no axe to grind, don't get me wrong here. But I heard since then that he'd confronted someone up there on the square and spit in their face, and they hit him and got arrested and all of that. A lot of people have a lot of different opinions about Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want you to know there really was a Christmas. And it's brought out in this scripture right here. And it's not hard to see. And you got to look before you can understand where the first Christmas took place at. If you'll notice, it said wise men came to celebrate it. And the reason they came was because they were from the east. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 5 through 6, you'll read about God speaking about Abraham. And God said that after Isaac, Abraham had other sons, and he sent them to the east.
Right.
Now, this is important. Just keep that in mind. These wise men came from the east. Now, they're mentioned that Abraham sent them with his blessing. And he sent them eastward. You can find that if you want to read these. You can look these up. Genesis chapter 25, verse 5 through 6. He sent them eastward. And you read in Genesis 18, verse 18 through 19, God's speaking about Abraham. And God says this about Abraham: I know him, and he'll teach his children, and his children's children. That's what fathers need to do.
Amen.
Now, we got a lot of stuff going on down here, and one reason it's going on, because we ain't doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
We need to teach children right things. We need to bring them up right. We need to teach them right. We need to tell them right. And I'll be honest with you, a bunch of lies are being told by children nowadays. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know the left hand or the right hand. Sadly, like my pastor said, we're victims of prophecy. It is going to get worse and worse, but I don't like it. And I'm not going to be guilty of not trying to tell them the truth. And I'll be honest with you, I want to preach the truth. I want to try to tell people the truth. But God said this about Abraham. He said he'll tell his children and his children's children.
Right.
Now, in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham has been tempted by God to offer his son Isaac, when Isaac could not take away the sins of the world. And I heard a lot of preachers say a lot of things about this. They said that God didn't want Isaac, he wanted Abraham. But Abraham went all the way to the point to strike his son Isaac with a knife. God stopped him. And on the way up that Mount Moriah, which is Mount Calvary, Abraham answered his question of his son Isaac. Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide himself for a lamb.
Yeah.
And John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, behold the lamb. I mean, it's a long story, but it's all through that Bible. But anyway, on that mountain, after all this took place, Abraham made a prophetic statement. And he said, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen.
Amen.
Now, Jesus commented on that in John chapter number 8. And he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it.
Amen.
I said all that for this reason. These wise men, it doesn't necessarily say there were three of them. It does mention three gifts. But if there was only three of them troubled all of Jerusalem and Herod the king. But anyway, these wise men had journeyed for 2 years to see someone that had to do with a star.
Yeah.
That they've been told about.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot more to this story than what we realize here. And they made a 2-year journey, and by the time that they got here, this babe wasn't in a manger. I know you see a lot of manger scenes, and here's wise men, and here's the Christ in the little manger scene there, and that babe laying in the manger. That was why he wasn't there. He's 2 years old. They made a 2-year journey to see this one It had to do with this star.
Right.
Now, you know in that Bible, you know that Balaam, when he looked down there in Numbers 24, and he looked down there upon Israel, and he said, a star will rise up out of Jacob, a scepter unto my people Israel. Amen. I just want you to know there's a whole lot more to this story here than what's going to meet the eye. But Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see his day, and Abraham sent his sons to the east, and they have been informed, and here they are seeking what they've been told. They want to see it in reality, and we can too. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. But these wise men, and let me say this, wise men still seek him.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I might have been stupid for 34 years, but praise God, I come out of my stupidity. I found him in a mighty way. Let me tell you this, buddy. I had an extreme makeover. I got a picture in here of Eddie Wade before he got saved. I might show it to you after the service. But if I do, you'll say, oh my God, can't do great things. Amen. I'll just tell you right now, praise God. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. He straightened my walk out. He straightened my path out. My wife's got a better husband. My children got a better father. And I'm a better man because of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, I wish him on everybody. Good dose of Jesus will do you some good. But these wise men, they come to celebrate the first Christmas. They saw a star. You know, back years ago, and I know Ed can remember this. You remember back when you popped popcorn and strung it on a string, wrapped around the tree. What was that you put on top of the tree? You know what I mean? They saw a star. It was on the top. Amen. You know, we just didn't really put it together. But a star goes on the top. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! We put our presents on the tree. God put his present on the tree. They come because of this star. They saw it. They came. And let me say this, that Christmas is all about Jesus. I mean, the greatest gift, the unspeakable gift. The gift, I'm telling anybody, if you ever get it, all the rest of it won't never matter. It's the one that makes the difference. Amen.
That's right.
I'm telling you, buddy, you go through this life.
Amen.
And you don't meet him, you've been better off to never been born.
Right.
Now, me and Ed was talking before y'all got here, and I gave him this pool illustration. I said, you know, you can ask a lot of people if they know Donald Trump. They say, yeah, I say, you know him personally. They say, well, no, I don't know him personally. I said, well, I know Jesus personally. That's what I'm talking about. I love knowing God. I know him personally. I spoke with him this morning. I had sweet fellowship with him this morning. And praise God, I tell you, I highly recommend a good dose of Jesus for whatever trouble in you today. But this news troubled all in Jerusalem, including the king. Everybody's not happy about Christmas.
That's right.
They want you to say happy holidays.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that they don't mind you praying, just don't pray in Jesus' name? Listen, if you don't pray in Jesus' name, don't even waste your time.
That's right.
Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, my Father, he'll answer according to his will. But when they say don't pray in his name, there's no need to pray.
Right.
Hey, I'm serious about prayer. I'll tell you right now, I've had a lot of prayers answered. I've prayed a lot of prayers. I believe God will answer every one of them according to his will. But listen, if you're going to pray and you're not going to mention his name, I'll tell you right now, you're just wasting your time. And this news troubled all Jerusalem, including the king. And celebrating Christmas troubles some people. Amen. And you notice that king, he demanded answers. You know, the world, they want answers. They just don't want the right answer.
That's right.
I mean, Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name. And he said, you receive me not. He said, if another comes in his name, you'll receive him.
Right.
You see, a true witness delivers souls. So if a true witness delivers souls, what does a Jehovah witness deliver? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just glad God got the truth to me before I swallowed the lie.
Because
listen, I witnessed it. I work with a man, a Jehovah Witness. I work with a man, a woman. I told both of them they're going to go to hell. One of them coming to me, and he said, you mean tell me I'm going to hell? His name's Tony. I said, yeah, Tony. I said, you're taking your family with you.
Yeah.
I said, you okay with that, buddy? He said, well, I don't agree with that. I said, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not saying you got to do anything about it. I just want to warn you, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't want your blood to be on my hands. I don't want you to say, Brother Ed, you didn't care enough about me to tell me the truth.
Right.
I want to tell him the truth, amen.
Right.
He knows it too, buddy.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, he that has a son has life. He that hath not the Son of God has not life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. I got the wrath upon me. Hallelujah. Woo! I'll tell you right now, somehow or another, he's going to present me without spot, without blemish in his presence with exceeding joy. And I'm looking forward to that. Amen. I got an accuser. Amen. Now, listen, he wants to tell all of his tell about old Brother Eddie, but I also got an advocate. Amen. I'm telling you right now, he's speaking on my behalf. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Amen.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. Oh, listen. Everybody don't like this celebrating Christmas. That king, he demanded answers. And listen, one thing he wanted to know, where's this Christ to be born? And that scripture is actually Micah chapter 5 verse 2 where it mentions about Jesus being born in Bethlehem of Judea. But also, he wanted to know when he was born. Do you know what said verse number 7?
Yeah.
Look down there. He inquired diligently of them what time that star appeared.
Yeah. Right.
Now this child is 2 years old. So that tells me 2 years ago they saw a star. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago they made a journey. And now they're where their destination is. They left because of this star. And they're looking for this one that they identify through this star. If you'll notice, when they saw that star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse number 10. That star come over that house where Jesus was, and it led them to him. Amen. And listen, I'm telling you, buddy, there's a whole lot more to this story about Christmas than a bunch of reindeer and all that other stuff. I'm telling you, buddy, this is a Christmas story that God put in here.
Amen.
Where they found him. They found him in a house. You know what? They found him in that house. They fell down.
Yeah.
And they worshiped him. That's what Christmas is all about.
Right.
Look, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Carolyn gave me a little bag there, and that's a blessing. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. And it's more blessed to give than to receive. But God gave us something we didn't deserve. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. Everybody hadn't took that gift, but it's offered to all.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God calls all. Amen. The Bible said he wants all men to be saved. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any pass,
right,
but that all would come to repentance. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
All may not get saved, but all can be.
Yes, they
can. You remember that queen of Sheba, she come a long ways. She heard about a man named Solomon, and she come because of the report. And when she come and saw it all she could get out was it was a true report. She said, "How big?" She said, "The half not been told."
Right.
I got a feeling we're going to know what that means. We get up there and start kicking that little gold there. You know what I mean? Boy, we're going to start celebrating Christmas like they've never been celebrated down here. We're going to understand how we got there. We're going to understand, I'm telling you, buddy, the great price that was paid so we can be abundantly pardoned, so we can say, hear the words in and out into the joys of the Lord. I'm telling you, we'll finally be whole.
Amen.
All about. He made a way where there wasn't no way.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. I don't know about y'all, but I like to go home for the holidays. Amen. This ain't my home. I don't fit in down here no more. I'm telling you right now, it used to be home. But my residence now is Mansion Avenue. I'm telling you, buddy, they're not got the wind structure problems. They're not trying to repair the roads. I'm telling them, they've paid for the gold to keep the dust down. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. First Christmas message, they fell down and they worshiped him.
Amen.
If you miss a true message about Christmas, you'll lose him.
Yes,
right,
you will.
Right.
They never lost him.
Right.
That's right.
They come seeking him. Mm-hmm. They come, they found him.
Right.
They gave him the best they had.
Amen.
God said in, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 26, I believe it is. He said, "Give me your heart."
Amen.
Amen.
I still remember today.
Yeah, that's right.
When he took his rightful Amen. Place upon the throne of my heart.
Yeah,
right. I still
Amen.
Remember that.
Amen.
I still Amen. Remember that. Boy, I became whole.
Right.
You see, I had a throne there, and he needed to have the right one on it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I cared about living with a doctor, and I was tossed to and fro this way and that way, and I had some misconception, but I'm going to tell you something, buddy. When he took his rightful place on the throne of my heart,
Amen.
How everything made sense then. All of a sudden the light came on. I'm in darkness no more. And everything looks different. I'm looking. I said, I understand a little bit now. Why? Why it was so hard for me to find him? Why there were so many else's? Why it took so long? Amen. Amen. These wise men made a long journey.
Yes, amen.
They'll tell you, boy.
That's right.
Listen to the true message of Christmas. They freely gave these things that they brought. They wanted to honor him. And in Christmas, we need to honor him. In Christmas, we need to remember him. And in Christmas, I'm telling you what, if you have a Christmas without him, boy, you'll have an empty Christmas. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Notice verse 10 said they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Oh, there's great joy. That first Christmas was about him. Oh, my friend, I'm telling you today, I might have went through 34 years without him. But I haven't spent 1 second without him since
right.
he took his place.
That's right.
On the front of my heart.
Amen.
Everywhere I go, we go together.
Right. Yeah.
I can't. I fellowship with him. People think I'm crazy. I'm down in that road. I got my hand up in the air.
I'm
wiping a tear driving the car on my knee. And I'm waiting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Have mercy on a sinner like me.
Bless him.
I'm like Saul. I may not have understood him. I may not have known him. I mean, he had to ask Jesus who he was before he became Paul. He was Saul.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, buddy, when he met him, the Bible said immediately.
Amen.
Right.
He preached Christ.
Amen. Yes, we did.
We're all vessels.
Mm-hmm.
We're all vessels that God has put his treasure in. And as we go, we need to pour as we go.
Right.
You sung a song about your neighbor. We need to be concerned about our neighbor. We need to be concerned about the sick. We need to try to help those that we can while we can. Because it won't be long. We'll make our exodus. Won't be long.
Yeah.
Someone tell the greatest lie that's ever been told. They'll say, anyway, die. I'll be more alive on that day than I am right now.
Yeah.
I tell you, but I'm going through the emotions of life. But when I exit this body, when I get that new body, amen. I mean, listen here, it's dying every day. Listen here, it's fading somewhere every day. But I'm telling you, when this is dissolved, I got one incorruptible. Maybe I I don't know about y'all, boy, but time has done its toll. Time has made a change in the old home place. Amen.
Yeah,
oh, this first Christmas, Herod was mad. He's the type of the Antichrist. The world don't want nothing to do with Jesus. They don't want you to put that sign up in your front yard that says Merry Christmas and Happy Jesus Birthday. You know, the date's not important.
No.
But the day was.
Amen.
They found him on this day.
Amen.
It may not have been December 25th. Or whatever day it was when they found him, they were exceeding glad. They was with great joy and rejoicing.
Yeah.
They finally found what everyone needs to find.
That's
they
right.
found him.
Right.
They lived with him. They went and told others about him.
That's right.
I'm telling you, buddy,
amen.
When you find him, all of a sudden now life makes sense. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be so many Christless Christmases. My pastor used to say it's one of the most depressing times of the year for some people. Listen, nothing plus him is something.
That's right.
Having him makes a difference.
Amen.
You read through that Bible, it talks about people. And they only got a handful of meal, but they got him. And the barrel of meal doesn't waste. It just keeps on going.
Right.
You meet a woman and her husband's died and all she's got is a little cruise of oil. He said, go get a bunch of bathtubs and bring them. Go in and shut the door and pour out. And she filled them all up. And he said, go sell. Pay your debt and live on the rest. I'm telling you, nothing with him is something.
That's right.
He's all you need.
Right.
God's the only one I know to take nothing and make something out of it.
That's right.
Oh, this first Christmas was the best Christmas ever. And you can still have this kind of Christmas.
Amen.
Even right now, if you'll just remember what you're celebrating.
Amen.
The world will try to get your eyes off of him.
Yes, it does. Right.
The world will try to get you to dwell on the negative things.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. When you put him where he's supposed to be. All things work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. When you put him where he's supposed to be, everything else falls in place.
That's right.
If you got him out of place or out of respect, the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest on your souls. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. The reason it is, he's pulling the biggest part of the load.
That's right.
Most of us, like Brother Ed said
right.
earlier this morning, most of us are guilty of trying to pull a load by ourselves, trying to do things on our own, getting ahead of God. We just need to walk with the Lord, talk with the Lord, fellowship with Him. He'll help you if you'll let Him. I told my granddaughter one time, I said, "Honey, I love you, but you're hard to love." A lot of us could say amen to that.
Yeah, that's right.
We make it so hard for someone to love us. You can make it a whole lot easier. You can.
Yes, you can. Amen.
Ed told me about a church that took some of the pews out, some of the paneling off the walls. Those are the kind of people's hard to love, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see, when you got issues like that, they're in the way.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about God as love.
Right.
And I believe it's Psalms 119, verse 165. Great peace have they that love thy law.
Yeah.
Amen.
And nothing shall by any means offend them.
That's right. Amen.
That's what you need right there.
Amen.
That's right.
That means, buddy, you like verbal ball, you bounce off anybody.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Some people get caught up on one little thing. I told Ed before y'all got here that I was down one time praying to God about my son and my daughter, and I was giving them both down the road. I said, "Lord, this is doing this. Lord, this is doing that." God interrupted my prayer and said, "Hey, well, let's work on 80 first. We'll get them later." When he got me straightened out, they looked a whole lot better. Now we got to get the mold out of our own eye. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that was embarrassing. It humbled me, but I needed it.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for your word. And I do humbly ask, Lord, that maybe something said today might find a place in our heart. That, Lord, we could ponder upon it and realize, Lord, how important it is. Lord, when this world has gone to hell in a handbasket, that we could remember that, Lord, you went through hell to give us heaven. We can sure appreciate and enjoy this time that we call Christmas, Lord, when we celebrate your birth. The world doesn't want to, but oh, how we need to. Help us, I pray. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I'll get somebody, if they would please, to sing an invitational hymn. I don't know that God spoke to anybody in a certain way, but I always want to give an invitation. I'll tell you why. Billy Sunday told a service in Chicago. He was discouraged how it turned out. He didn't give an invitation. Chicago burnt down that night.
No.
And he said, "I'll never do another service and not give an invitation."
Amen.
That's why I want to always give an opportunity. God may have spoken to someone.
Yeah.
And then maybe someone, "Brother Ed, I need to take care of something." I'll pray with you. Mm-hmm. I'll pray for you. I'll do just about anything I can to help anyone. But we're going to give this invitational time right here, like everybody's saying.
Page 113.
And if God has spoken to you, it's not the hearer that's blessed, it's the doer. If God's took it on your heart, saying, "I'd like to talk to you this morning," well, by all means, you're to come up here. Like I said, I know how the word went for me, but I don't know how it came to you.
Amen.
But if you need to come this morning, I beg you, come.
Amen.
God will help you. God will bless you. But you got to take that first step on your own.